Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back live in Chantilly at Pupitella Pizza. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murat, would like to know. They're going to help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. About an hour from now at 6 o'clock, we're expecting the Wizards to introduce Trae Young in a press conference. We will be carrying that presser right here on The Fan. I think there's a handful of different things that are going to come up inevitably. I don't know how much they're going to be willing to say or answer yet about the bigger picture plan, or if they even really know definitively, you know, what the vision is, how this is all going to work out with Trae Young. There might be some TBD to this, where if he's a really good fit, if he's great in the locker room, if he gets along well with all the young guys and makes Trey Johnson and Alex Saar better, you know, maybe he can extend his stay. But what I want to know, number one, is he being shut down imminently? Or is the plan that he will not play very much this year, which is my hope, so that they help protect their draft pick? And then also, do they plan on having any extension talks with him ahead of the start of next season? Because we know he's going to opt into the $49 million final year of his deal. He's not going to get that anywhere else. But we've heard that there's a chance, maybe, that they want to extend him over several years, lower that number. And at that point, Danny, maybe they would have their future point guard. Which, again, less appealing to me, but certainly a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, think of the press conference that we had earlier this week. It seems like ancient history now, but Dan Quinn, Adam Peters standing before the media and answering questions. And a lot of the answers were answers because of things they didn't say or they omitted or ways they said certain things. They can't come up there and say, yep, we plan on shutting him down to make sure we get a top four pick in the lottery. That's a violation of the rules. The NBA would go, aha, we got you, and everyone would get punished. But you'll hear within the dialogue sort of maybe some hints at what the plan might be. If you hear things like, we need to make sure he's right, we're going to take our time, you know, and making sure that he's at full strength before we see him out there, tells you that they're going to slow play this quad injury that he's been dealing with and some of the other complications from a knee injury in the not-too-distant past. They're going to make certain, I think, that he's right as rain before we end up seeing him on the court, because we think he could be a really good player for us. I also wouldn't guess that they would, you know, totally tip their hand in terms of, oh yeah, we're having extension talks right now. They'll certainly tell you we're open to it. We're excited about the player. We think he's a star, and I think they do. Travis Schlenk, who's from Atlanta, has a history with Trae Young. He was around when they, you know, it was Trae Young over Luka Doncic. He felt that strongly about the player there at that time when he was there in Atlanta. So I think they really do like the player, but I'm with you. Short-term, biggest thing, let's make sure it's protected top eight, really, for me, protected top four, get in that bottom four for the best chance of this lottery, maybe the best draft we've seen since that LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh type group. Get in there, get in early, and see what you can get. But secondarily, maybe you have found your answer. Maybe that is possible with a change of scenery and kind of a 2.0 version of his career, trying to resurrect something. A guy that's one of the best assist men in the history of this league might help some of your young players thrive.
It'll also just be refreshing, frankly, to hear a player talking about
wanting
being
to be
exciting
here. Yeah.
To be a Wizard, you know, and being excited to come here, which has not happened in a long time.
And we need that.
To hear from a four-time All-Star who thinks that this thing is something you want to be a part of, that this is an ascending operation, that some of these young players are players that you want to play with, Like, that's going to be cool. So that's coming up at 6, about 50 minutes from right now on G&D right here on The Fan. Wanted to get into a couple of the leftovers from a coaching staff standpoint, but folks are waiting, 800-636-1067, to talk about the defensive coordinating hiring, so we'll get to those in just a moment, and whether or not you think it's important that Dan Quinn does not call his own plays as opposed to, you know, the offensive coordinating hire, where they could, you know, possibly go the direction of something internal, something in-house. I don't think there's anybody in-house they would hire as a DC if that's something of interest to them. It's only going to be the Blau offensive side of the ball. I've not really heard. I know they're interviewing other people, but like Anthony Lynn is a viable choice. I think that would be really, really hard to sell. Last time he called plays in season, the Lions moved on from him and said, no, thank you. Brian Johnson would be an option perhaps. He was a play caller. It went really badly in Philly. It's possible that they could give him a second chance. But again, I think especially with some of the names out there, including McDaniel, that would be one of those where you're really going to have to sell people. Just you're going to have a lot of pushback from local, national people if the guy that gets the gig with your career on the line, if you're Dan Quinn, is someone who's 0 for 1 in a really, really loud way in Philadelphia and Brian Johnson.
Yeah, again, if this is – if you're coming off a 12-5 season, we go to the NFC title game, and Cliff goes somewhere else, right, because he gets a head coaching gig and maybe takes David Blau with him or something, and you're going, you guys – one of his underlings, he's learned so much these last couple of years. I know it didn't go great the first time, but ladies and gentlemen, Brian Johnson, there's a lot more excitement. People are moving and changing jobs because things didn't go well. It's always hard to sell to fans and Zilch's like myself. When things are bad, take the guy that was second in command for when it was bad. It's possible you've got different ideas, and it's possible that you've got a great GM like Brian McClellan waiting in the wings, but for the most part, when things turn south and guys are moving on because things turn south, it's an uphill climb to try to sell. Hey, we got the guy. He was here all along.
Oregon, Indiana, national semifinal in college football is tonight. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Oregon 13-1, the 5 seed in the college football playoff. Indiana is perfect, 14-0. They are the number 1 seed in the college football playoff. In this game tonight, total of 50.5. The expectation is points. And scoring, Indiana, by the way, is -3 in this contest at this point. The Hoosiers have become the darling. That's what happens when you go from nobody caring about your program, nobody thinking of you as a football school, having a Heisman Trophy winner who's got some Beaver Cleaver to him, who cuts a great promo, who seems like a very righteous kind of goody-two-shoes fun kid who might go number one overall. Kurt Cignetti goes from JMU to Indiana, does something in 2 years that nobody's ever done. But I said this the other day. I wonder if Indiana were to lose somehow tonight, and it was Oregon against Miami, would Miami then become the team that everybody gets behind because
I would.
They're the 10 seed and like they're not supposed to be here? Or would people root for Oregon who have been good but never won it?
Yeah, to me, Miami would be the story because of the dramatics.
Better story, but you have to deal with like Michael Irvin.
Yeah, that makes you less of an underdog, less fun. Again, he's just so much to deal with. Did you know he went to Miami?
Wasn't aware.
Yeah. But Oregon, this isn't Oregon's fault. They've done nothing wrong. All they've done is run a good program and been really close, knocking on the door, have been, you know, national championship caliber. This year they've been good throughout, wire to wire. They are really impressive. They're well coached. They're good at everything. I like Dante Moore a lot. This is a good club that could absolutely, figuratively here, cut down the nets. I know they don't do that, but that's the NCAA championship expression. They're good enough to be the national champion. They could absolutely win this one tonight. But I think that would be, as I said at the top, it's the only one of the four schools that doesn't have the storybook kind of thing, and maybe that's why they win it. You know, who knows? But yeah, I mean, the sentimental favorite here, of course, is Indiana by a million miles. I think the 2 seed would have been Ole Miss. Miami maybe 2A or 3, just because you love that kind of story where critics and people are, you know, the loudmouths are going, no way they should have been there. National champion. How about that?
I have a hard time with Fernando Mendoza as a draft prospect. And I will say, like, up front, I watch quarterbacks less and study, like, the process of quarterback draft picks now that Washington has a franchise QB and Jaden Daniels, way less than I used to. You know, college football, eval and his fandom has changed a lot. But when I watch him, while I'm not, like, studying him per se, guys like him, he does not scream number one, and I wonder if it's just the personality that's so unique, where he's like very nerdy, very different, kind of, and he admits this, but like dorky a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not your prototypical jock. He's not your normal quarterback who's at the top of the board. But like from a football standpoint, I wonder about athleticism.
Who's this comp? Who's remind you of? Because there's someone pretty clearly he reminds me of.
I mean, honestly, like a maybe a more athletic Cousins a
that's
little
it.
Bit.
That's my answer.
But that's my point. Like Kirk Cousins went in the fourth round.
Yep.
Even with the career he had, if he goes back in the draft, yes, he would have been the top 10, top 12 pick because he was a great passer. But like, he's not a 1-1 type because he's not a creator, an extender. Like all of the things that he does brilliantly are subtle and not really noticed. And I think Mendoza is a processor. I think he's cerebral. I think he's smart. I think he's anticipatory as a passer. But he doesn't really have big-time athletic traits at all.
No, there's nothing, again, if you put him through a combine where you'd go, okay, that's elite. But you turn on the game tape, it's the ball's going where it's supposed to go, when it's supposed to go there. He's got just enough. Right now, late career Cousins after Achilles and a bunch of other injuries and things where he got crunched a million times isn't as explosive getting out of the pocket. But Mendoza showed you in the last game, they're just enough for those moments where everything breaks down, he's sliding around in the pocket, has enough burst to get that 5.5, 6 yards, dive forward, first down, huge chain moving. Now let's get back to run the offense on time, on schedule. Not there to run the football, not there to make one read, say, okay, that side of the field's
but,
closed,
but is he a,
and I'm out of there.
Is he an elite processor?
No.
Because, like, I think Cousins is. Is he an elite anticipator?
Not yet.
Could
not,
he be?
Yes.
I
like him in that way. If you find that offense where – again, I don't know what you'd call all these different things. I mean, some elements of a West Coast where you would go, all right, I know you're looking at this area. The guy isn't open yet. It looks like a defensive back is there. You have to trust it blindly and throw to that spot knowing that the receiver will get out of his break and get there. And he'd go, okay, coach, you got it. And he would deliver that football in that spot. You could put him in some situations and some offenses where I think he could thrive. I don't think he has the – I'm going to carry a football team at the NFL level to a Super Bowl type traits. And I think that's what teams are always kind of looking for there. So you kind of shoot the moon to a degree. Not his fault, by the way. He's the kind of guy I'd love to have on my roster somehow, some way.
I think, based on what I have seen, I think I would probably take him over Dante Moore. I would have to obviously do way more studying. And you have the benefit of sitting down and getting to know these guys a little bit too. But right now, most of the mocks have Fernando Mendoza going 1 to the Raiders. And then Dante Moore going 2 to the Jets. Both of those teams need quarterbacks. So it'd stand to reason they both take QBs.
Yep.
And in some order, those two guys come off the board. What's interesting is you saw Ty Simpson, the quarterback from Alabama, committed to the NFL draft.
Yeah, what does he know? What has someone told him?
I don't know, because his season was so brutal in the second half. His stock completely fell off. It was a foregone conclusion. Everybody just assumed he was definitely going back to school. And then he announced he was going into the draft. When you say, what does he know? I think the only thing I can come up with is this draft is so weak at quarterback. And it got less so with what happened with Trinidad Chambliss yesterday and the Ole Miss quarterback finding out he's not going to be able to stay in college this year, so he's going to come out. But this is the weakest QB class in years. And so if you're Simpson and your stock is taking a huge hit, maybe you just hop into this class because falling down the board could still mean you go in round 2 in this year, where last year or next year, maybe you turn into round 3 or 4.
Or, and here's the other thing I wonder, in this new era of college foosball, maybe he got wind that somebody's coming to Alabama that might supplant him.
But he would still be able to go somewhere else at big money. I saw this thing.
Yeah.
I wish I had it in front of me. Something like Power 4 starting quarterbacks in the portal are getting, on average, like the amount is like $4.5 million a year or something like that. Which is not as good as what Fernando Mendoza is going to get 1-1 or Dante Moore is going to get 1-2, but it's better than what you're going to get in the third round.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know. I have to imagine he thinks he's probably going in the top 65 or so if he's leaving, because the portal money's so good now. Someone's got to be telling him you're going to get drafted in the top couple rounds.
Yeah, somebody gave him some intel, and I pray that it's not what happened in the NBA all the time, where these poor kids would, you know, some pariah or, you know, what am I looking for? A parasite type agent would tell him, oh, yeah, you're definitely going. And then he wouldn't go, and then you owe him money, and the whole thing is a mess, and you can't go back into college. I'm hoping that he's got a pretty good sense that he might end up going high enough where this isn't a decision he regrets.
Arvil Reese has thrown his name into the NFL draft, not a surprise.
That is correct, yeah.
Could be the first defensive player taken. You know, the book on him is that he's going to basically come out as an edge. He played linebacker, mostly off the ball, at Ohio State, and a lot of people feel like when he turns into an edge, he'll be the best pass rusher in this class. The comps are basically...
I see Micah Parsons, a lot of Micah Parsons.
I mean, that's what everybody says, yeah. It's like Micah Parsons, 6'4", 243, linebacker, turns into an edge. Reuben Bain, Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, Caleb Downs, all those guys going to be entering the draft here are in the top five, top ten conversation. So the good news for Washington is no surprises so far with Reese, with Bain, with Caleb Downs. Like, those guys are all going to be in the mix here. And if they have to stay put at seven, you can either reach a little bit on a wide receiver or you're going to take a really stellar defender. Ideally, you can move down a little bit, still get a really good defender, and maybe add some picks in the process.
Yeah, it always kind of depends, right? Where's the best value in a given draft in a given year? And this, of course, is inexact and nobody knows. But are you better off with, I'm just making this up, safety number one in Caleb Downs, who is a badass, by the way. That guy's awesome, can play. Or are you better with offensive tackle number two? They don't need one. But just, again, bear with me, in terms of positional value at 12 or 13. Those are the kinds of really fun decisions that executives like Peters get to make and have to make. To figure out, because obviously you're not building a team in a vacuum. It's easy to say best available. Well, if the best available four straight times is an off-ball linebacker, you wouldn't take four straight off-ball linebackers. That never happens and shouldn't. So there's got to be some deference toward what you need, your roster holes, and where the position value is.
In terms of the NFL draft tonight, though, I mentioned the quarterbacks. Mendoza, Moore could be the top two picks. At Indiana, they have a wide receiver who's interesting to me. He's currently being mocked in the back end of the second round in Elijah Surratt, 6'2", 210, big guy, 55 catches, 730 yards this year, was at James Madison University, then came over with Cignetti, 13 touchdowns. He's a red zone threat, big physical guy. I love his game. He makes sense for Washington. Again, they do not have a second-round pick.
I was going to say, that's a second-rounder, right?
Yeah. So he would have to get to them early in the third round, which is possible at this point. But other than Mendoza, interestingly, as good as Indiana's been, they may not have another player in the first couple of rounds.
They don't have a single five-star on their roster. Yeah. I mean, that's what makes us that much more remarkable.
Very different for Oregon, though. Dante Moore going two overall, possibly. Kenyon Sadiq, their tight end, who's giant, 6'3", about 245, has 45 catches and 8 touchdowns this year. He's going to be a first-round pick. He's mocked right now in the late teens to, Vikings, Panthers, Cowboys, in that range. Interest for Washington as well, 6'3", 330 pounds. And then also projected in the second round right now, interior lineman Emmanuel Pregnon, Dylan Thieneman, the safety, and they have another edge in the game tonight, is mocked in the top 45.
Yeah, do me a favor and say his name real quick. It's Mateo. I got his first name. You say his last name.
Ugalele, I believe.
You sure about that?
Ugalele. It's a little bit like the old quarterback at, everywhere.
He went to six schools. And he was the guy that took over for the guy on quarterback.
Is that his brother?
I have no idea.
It's the same last name. It's like Ugalele.
Maybe.
I would be surprised if they're not related.
Mateo.
Yeah,
Mateo U.
But they have a total of, right now I'm looking at a mock draft, 6 second rounders and 3 first rounders. Yeah. So you're going to see some talent tonight.
They got
talent. Turn on the TV with Oregon. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Again, 6 o'clock, the press conference, introducing Trae Young with the Wizards. Take a look at the NFL playoffs and make some of our predictions, confidence points picks. Look at the scoreboard before we get out of here this hour. We're in Chantilly at Pupatella Pizza. Come on out and have a little dinner with us on a field trip Friday on the Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny live in Chantilly at Pupatella Pizza. Come on out and say hello. We'll be here until 6:30, an hour from right now. You are going to hear the presser. Trae Young being introduced by the Wizards. Four-time All-Star acquired. The question is, what's the plan? What's the end game here with Trae Young? Wizards are starting to show that the kids are okay, by the way. Trey Johnson can fill it up. Alex Saar in the post is a good player who's got a developing game around the perimeter as well. And he is an elite rim defender. Like, they hit on that pick.
They hit it.
And this staff has hit on enough of these picks early in the draft where you're starting to think maybe, just maybe, if they had one more stud this year in the top five, whether it's Trae Young or another $50 million type player, this is the end of the road this year at the tank. Starting next year, now you're starting to win basketball games as often as you possibly can.
Yeah, get the kids the experience.
I mean, two seasons from now, maybe you're competing for the playoffs.
If it works the way I hope it does, the way that their design is, their best player isn't on the team yet. Right? That would include Trae Young, depending on how long he's here, what he's here for, et cetera. It would be the player that they acquire in this draft lottery that a lot of executives, some really smart ones, have said is the best draft they've ever seen. Some people are saying it's the best draft since the LeBron, D. Wade, Chris Bosh, top of the board from a couple of decades ago. By the way, LeBron's still playing. That's incredible. But you're basically talking about slam dunks in Trae Johnson and in Alex Saar in a draft that wasn't viewed as particularly good. A seven-footer with that athleticism, and they said, let's be patient. Let's let him explore the space as a rookie. He wasn't very good. That's allowed when you're 19 for a team that's terrible. They got something with him. I mean, they really do. You involve him in some pick-and-roll action now as a rim runner. You already mentioned him as a rim defender. You could get points in transition. He could just run the court, Grant, and be a 16-10 guy.
Yeah.
Without running a single action for him. And that's pretty special.
I want to get an update on our picks standings, if we could, please. The confidence points picks that we've done all year long on Grant and Danny. We pick games every single week. We pick three games. Based on how sure we are that we're going to be right, we assign 3, 2, and 1 confidence point pick. Whoever finishes first, you get a nice pat on the back. There's really nothing for it. When you win confidence points picks, nobody really cares. But when you finish last, you get made fun of a lot, and generally something terrible has to happen. I've had to go to a restaurant and eat at a nice steakhouse with stuffed animals. We have had all kinds of terrible things that we've had to do when you lose in confidence points picks. So without further ado, let's get to the standings and see where we're at going into the playoffs. So, Darius, update the standings for us. We include the playoffs into the postseason after this week because there's still enough games that we can use our 3, 2, and 1 point plays. But generally starting next week, we could start to do some individual player props, assuming that the odds are in the right zip code. But where are we at on the standings right now? Are things getting tighter as we approach the postseason?
All parties involved are within 5 points of each other. Ooh. Currently, Ryan is in first place with 57 points. I am in second place with 56 points. Grant, third place with 54 points. And then Toby and Danny, who have been battling for the last few weeks, are all tied at 52.
This is maybe the tightest that it's ever been.
It really is. I know that sounded like Ron Rivera, but listen to the records. 26-25, 27-24, 27-24, 28-23, and 27-24.
So everybody's within two games.
It's as literally as close as it could possibly be.
Yeah, and that is kind of the beauty of, I think, going with fewer games this year.
Indeed.
We used to do 5, now we're doing 3.
And I was eliminated in week 6.
You could be eliminated.
We can be eliminated?
Oh,
okay.
No. You and Darius generally compete in the Super Bowl almost every year to see who's going to lose. This year, though, Danny, you and Toby are last.
We got some company,
but
yeah.
But you have a chance to not have to worry. You can watch your Super Bowl in peace.
That's not going to happen.
Can you imagine?
We all know that.
And Darius, lo and behold, has actually been hanging around first place a little bit.
It's been a fun season for your boy. I can't complain.
What would you do if you could just watch the Super Bowl
without a sweat,
without having to worry about getting a cat or posing in a Speedo at Sears?
And he still owes us like so many sexy photos.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, you already have like three payments that are still owed.
It would be very peaceful. I mean, that Super Bowl a couple years ago where I had to wait for Joe Mixon to hit a over that he hadn't hit all year, and he miraculously did, was the most painful thing I've ever had to deal with watching a Super Bowl.
Pretty rough. All right, so let's do it. Three-point plays. Let's go in the order of the standings. So, Ryan, you give us your first prediction for the NFL playoffs.
This one was actually a very tough one, but I am actually going to go with tomorrow night's matchup with the Packers. I think the Packers pull this one off. And in fact, let me get the number up here. I had it written down here. Now it's just changed.
Minus one and a half.
I've got the Packers winning outright against the Bears. Ben Johnson, your time is up, pal.
Keep betting against Ben Johnson. You'll keep looking foolish. Three-point play for Clary.
My three-point play, I'm going to roll with the Jacksonville Jaguars plus one against the Buffalo Bills. I'm feeling very good. I think home field advantage is going to play in favor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's basically a pick 'em, so I'm just picking the Jaguars win outright. But I do have the Jaguars taking down the Buffalo Bills, and unfortunately, Josh Allen's not going to be able to take advantage of no Lamar, no Patrick Mahomes.
My three-point play is the San Francisco 49ers catching 5.5 points at the Link in Philadelphia. I do think the Eagles could and will win this game. I certainly see them winning. But 5.5 points for San Francisco is too many. They could win this game outright. They were cooking offensively, too, lest we forget. I really like the Niners' offense. I don't like the Eagles' offense. They have a championship-level defense, so maybe you pull the game out. But San Francisco's offense is going to be able to keep it close, maybe get you a backdoor cover if need be. And if you told me right now that they win the game outright, I kind of think it's a toss-up type game. So I'm getting almost six. That is a no-brainer. I wish I could make that all three of my plays this week.
So Toby and I are tied. Who do you want to go first?
Doesn't matter.
I'll go. I'm right here. So I'm to your left, Tobes, so then you can go. I got the same play, 49ers plus 5.5. I think they win the game.
I got a little bit of a hot take. The team that I trust the most, maybe in the entire AFC, because I trust their defense, Houston. I love Houston. Give me Houston minus three against Pittsburgh on Monday night.
I just wish that line wasn't three. I wish that line was a half point in either direction.
I'm not sure Pittsburgh scores.
That's very possible.
I feel like they don't, but it's Tomlin. It's always a cover, even if they're going home.
The Steelers at home getting points. The trends on that are like Mike Tomlin is batting .963 in that sequence, but they're not very good, and the Texans are.
It's been true for a decade.
Yes.
And the numbers are still the numbers.
All right, Clary.
All right, I'm going to go with Sunday's matchup, the San Francisco 49ers plus 5.5 against the Eagles. I think the 49ers actually might win this game outright. And again, like, it's the Eagles just aren't that good. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I feel as if they're going to be a little bit rusty coming off a quote-unquote bye week. And I think the 49ers win this game in Philly.
Very popular play. Somebody wants to zag here. They could possibly scoop up some points with the Eagles winning going away. Dad, what do you got?
I will not be the one to zag. Instead, Texans Dameron's going to go with his Houston Texans to cover that minus three.
You knew I would.
Come on now. Minus three at the Steelers. I actually think it's going to be a tough game. But overall, the Texans are going to end up pulling this victory out.
Two-point play for me. I'm going to roll with, you know what? I'm going to go against my better judgment here. I'm going to just feel like the public is on the Chargers. I'm going to do a Kevin Sheehan smell test.
Well, let me say this. Hold on.
The New England Patriots, -3.5, I will have beating L.A. as my two-point play. I'm going to get a little bold here.
It's where the sharp money has come in here of late.
Oh, no, they're bringing you your ice cream.
Give me the Patriots. Also, another play, Indiana State is playing in the Underground Tunnel Bowl against Sycamore State Tech from Wyoming. Opened up at 4, sharp money comes in at 3.5. Let me say this, Denton. It's a plus 3.5 line for the Underminers from Cheyenne, Wyoming State.
You've got the Underminers?
The Underminers.
From Cheyenne, Wyoming State.
Thanks to Chart.
The Sheehan smell test.
All right. Carolina plus 10.5. They're going to lose this football game. The Rams play with their food. Carolina is their food. The Rams are better. I think the Rams win, but it's always weirder and closer than it should be. Even if they get out to a big lead, I think Carolina stays in it. I think they lose by, 8 points, give or take, but I think they cover.
Nothing like the two losers sticking together, me
and
Danny.
Love it, buddy.
Keep pounding, baby. Carolina plus 10.5.
Wow, you guys are going to have the same picks as you're trying to get out of the basement, huh? All right, there's your two-pointer.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
I'm going to go with Buffalo minus 1.5. It's my one-point play. I'm going against Dad here. I love you, Dad, too, but I'm just not betting on the Jaguars. And I feel as if right now no one's talking about the Bills, man. This could be their year.
I am going to agree with Grant and pick New England minus 3.5. I actually would have picked it as my two-point play, but that half kind of feels icky a little bit.
Yes,
but
it does.
Yeah. But I'm just going to – so I'll go ahead and with as my one-point play. I think the Chargers are just going to charge her, and Drake May and the boys are going to roll.
Minus 2.5, would have, we would have been in business.
That would have been much better, yeah.
I'm going to roll with the Texans against my better judgment, but Tomlin and points, death taxes, Tomlin and points at home. I'm rolling with Houston. I just think Aaron Rodgers, clock strikes midnight here. Thank you for your services. This offense is gross to watch. I could see them scoring somewhere around 10 points in the entire game. Get me to 17. Let's get a cover here, Houston, on 3 points. That's my one-pointer.
I don't feel great about any of the other matchups, and even if I did, I'm sure I would lose. Remember I said that the Colts were going all the way in a year that they lost by 50. But I like the Chargers on the road here against the Patriots to cover, if not steal this game outright. They're not better than the Patriots. I'm not saying they are. These are two really good head coaches. All Jim Harbaugh does is alienate people but win while he's doing it. So I like them on the road. That's a team that nobody is talking about. No one's giving them a chance. The stories are, the narratives are much, are elsewhere, quite frankly. No one's talking about them. That's a pretty good football team that's playing well. I give them a chance to go into New England and steal one.
And by the way, because of the spread, you could even get them losing by a field goal.
Exactly.
And you still get your win.
That 3.5. As my guy Frank Hanrahan used to say, the hook is a crook.
GP, we're going to be playing some Ben Johnson alerts on Monday. You're going to get excited. And the reason we're going to be playing Ben Johnson alerts is because it's going to be at O'Hare as Ben Johnson's headed to Cancun. Packers minus 1.5.
Two Packers plays?
Look at Toby cutting a promo.
Ben Johnson alert.
Ben Johnson alert.
It's home alert. Ben Johnson is home now alert.
You guys can keep all you want to cheer on Ben Johnson's demise. Keep doing it. He'll just keep on leading the boys in the locker room.
You're talking about division
champion? Good, better, champion? Best. Better than the rest.
You're talking about 12-5,
so Ben Johnson? Your best gets better. And your better gets best. The Bears, man.
The Bears.
What if Ben Johnson and the Bears make a deep run here, boys? My lips are filling with smile at the possibility.
I'm thinking about who's going to be the most insufferable if that happens. Let me see. Will it be Toby? No. Will it be Ryan? No.
Nope.
Darius? No. Danny? No.
You know what Super Bowl I would hate?
What's that?
It's Drake May versus Ben Johnson.
You might self-destruct.
Oh, man. I would be so steamed up.
I think who's got the Super Bowl this year? Is it Fox?
No, it's NBC.
NBC,
it's
okay.
It's a Tirico situation.
Yeah, so Tirico's like, and the ball's in the air, and Grant, and just lightning strikes Grant, and that's it.
It would be pretty fun.
And the good Lord says, now's the time. Doesn't get better than this for GP.
Grant and Danny with you live from Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. It's a field trip Friday on The Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back live in Chantilly at Pupitella Pizza. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We will have the Trae Young Wizards press conference coming up at 6 o'clock right here on the Fan. We're your flagship home exclusively for the Wizards, the Capitals, the Nationals. I mean, nobody gets you closer to the teams you care about in town than we do. Danny, what are you eating now?
That's gelato.
So, but is that the cookies and cream joint?
Yeah, that's going to be a cookies and cream gelato. There's a toffee chip one, I think. There's a vanilla, and this is a strawberry one. I normally don't go for strawberry sweets, but when they knock it out of the park like this, I went for it. And it's incredible. It's the gelato flight here. I don't know if they've named it after me, but they could.
So the flight is four small bowls of what I would consider to be a scoop. One scoop, or maybe even like three quarters of a scoop. It's like a dash.
Yes, it's. I would say it's a scoop.
A scoop?
It's a scoop. It's a scoop, Jackson.
So my initial thought when I looked over and I saw that you've already eaten three of the cups of gelato and you're eating the fourth now.
Finishing it off, yeah.
Was that you and Toby had both done it. But Toby's got his own.
Yeah, Toby's got his own.
Four cups.
Yep.
So did you eat all of those?
Yeah, so they read the scouting report about Toby, and they saw in Leesburg how I had some and Toby had some. Well, they decided we're not just going to do that anymore. We're not going to make them divvy up what should be four people's portions. These two slobs are going to get their own. So Toby got his own flight.
I honestly don't think we've ever been fed more by anyone
it's just so absurd.
Than today. But just generally any day yeah. we've ever been at Pupitella. Like if people are like, okay, guys, we get it. They're giving you food. Like whatever amount of food that you think has been served
more.
To us.
It's more than that.
It's not even close,
Good
people.
Lord.
I mean, it is outrageous.
Yeah.
Like, if we did the show here every day, we would weigh – there would be a TV show about how, like, we're about to die, you know? Like
my 900-pound show.
Right. There would be a show about how, like, we get carried out of our houses on the contraptions that are used to take whales to the ocean. You know what I'm saying?
I'd be doing the thing where it's like, I just can't help it. You know, I just can't help it. I just love it so much, and I'm sorry to my family.
My 800-pound radio host.
Yeah,
you know, like it would just end so terribly.
Oh,
so this God. Is a blessing and a curse in a sense. I mean, like we only do it luckily like four times a year.
Yeah, you can't. You couldn't do this every day.
I mean, you're gonna be feeling this for a couple days.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, I'm telling you, something happens in my disgusting body when the taste comes in. When I get new taste that's joyous, my body's like, listen, we'll figure it out. Just bring us that taste. I need the taste. I know you're full. You've been full since 3 o'clock. But you're going to keep eating because the taste is so good.
It's the
taste. We'll find new compartments. We'll store it in your spleen. Like it'll be in your throat somehow still. We're going to figure out some storage. You just keep eating the delicious food, Fatty.
All right, let's get you around the NFL with some news and notes, some updates coming out today, both on searches as well as who's in and who's out for some of these playoff games. We'll start with the San Francisco 49ers. Left tackle Trent Williams, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, both listed as questionable for Sunday. Williams with a hamstring, Pearsall with a knee and an ankle. They were among those with an injury designation coming out of practice. Williams did practice limited basis today. I think he's going to play. He's been limited the last 2 days. Pearsall did not practice at all this entire week. I would say there's a much better chance that he does not go at all in this game. Now, they have gotten by without him. He's important. He's good. He's helpful. But I don't think he's a deal breaker. Whereas when Trent Williams doesn't play, this San Francisco team's chances go down considerably. But I think Trent Williams, if I had to guess, just covering him for as long as I did, seeing him play hurt as much
yeah,
as I did.
Crutches on Friday, left tackle on Sunday.
I think he's going to play. Here's one that's worth monitoring. Same game, right? 49ers-Eagles. Right tackle Lane Johnson is also listed as questionable. He's been working his way back from a foot injury for weeks. We saw that rehab on Hard Knocks that he was going through. This game is on Sunday afternoon at home. Limited practices three times this week as he's ramping it back up. Was never full go, which it seemed like was supposed to have been part of the return to play for him. I think he'll go too. I mean, it's the playoffs, and yeah. It's just kind of crunch time. This was the target date for him all along. I don't think he's going to miss his mark.
Yeah, if not now, when, right? I mean, that's sort of the deal. Even if you're hampered, only part of yourself, adrenaline's got to take over. You got to go.
He's so good.
He's terrific.
If Williams is the best left tackle in the league, and he probably is, Johnson's the best right tackle in the league. I mean, at this point, I feel like that's the case. We'll say goodbye to our audience in Richmond and thank them for listening to the G&D program today. Keeping it moving with some of the news and notes around the NFL, Mike McDaniel's got at least one head coaching interview lined up. It's going to happen Wednesday in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans. So if you're the Commanders and you want McDaniel, you're going to have to wait. There's a chance he ends up interviewing with as many as 3 to 5 teams for their head coaching vacancies next week. That could go through Friday. I mean, for some of these teams,
yeah.
If somebody fires a coach next week, whether it's the Steelers or the Bills or the Packers or whoever, they might not even start interviews until the end of the week, early the following week. So this is one of the reasons why I'm kind of pouring cold water on this idea of Mike McDaniel. I think it's very possible Washington wants to move quicker than that and not get left holding the bag, and they decide that David Blau, the bird in hand, might be more valuable to them.
That, again, it makes perfect sense, right? Because you could hold out for this, you know, pie in the sky, dream scenario that may never come. Just, and no fault of your own, by the way. Not because you couldn't put together a good presentation or weren't good candidates or, you know, weren't able to put together a good package for it. He may just prefer to be a head coach. He may prefer a different quarterback or system or set of circumstances, general manager or otherwise. Who knows? He may not value working for Dan Quinn as much as he does Dan Quinn, the friend. May not want to change that relationship. I mean, you have no idea what somebody's thinking. May not want to live in the Mid-Atlantic. Like, there are so many factors that are out of your control.
That'd be really funny, by the way.
Right?
He's like, the Mid-Atlantic is just not for me.
I did it once. I don't want to do it again. I have no idea.
Here's a name to keep in mind on the defensive coordinating side of things for Washington. They apparently interviewed, this is an interesting one, Chiefs D lineman Joe Cullen, who I'm not overly familiar with, but Cullen was the defensive coordinator of the Jaguars in 2021. He was a D-line coach with the Ravens from 2016 through 2020. He's also been a D-line coach with the Bucks and the Browns and the Jaguars, dating all the way back to 2010 when he broke into the NFL. The last 3 years, he's been in Kansas City as the D-line coach with the Chiefs, a two-time Super Bowl champion, working with Chris Jones and that group. He interviewed today, apparently, for the defensive coordinator job. So if they want to go with a less big known commodity, personality, less star power, and just go with like a Joe Witt type hire to do a lot of the work behind the scenes during the week and let Dan Quinn kind of maybe call the plays or something, that is a route, that is an option that they could possibly go. All right, let's step away so we're ready for the press conference. Trey Young and the Wizards coming up top of the hour. It's Grant and Danny at Pupatella Pizza. If you are along Route 50, somewhere in the Chantilly area, come on out and kick it with us on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.